Canto 6. When I came round and was no longer blind, my pity for that self-deluding pair gave me much grief, and grief had closed my mind. I saw new types of torment everywhere around me, so no matter where I turned were the tormented. This was Circle 3, and here there was no fire and nothing burned. Instead, a dark, cold rain falls heavily forever. At a rigidly fixed rate and steady density, the muck descends through shadow air already dark as slate. The fall of dirty water never ends, with hail and snow mixed in. The soaked earth reeks. The people stuck in it have Cerberus to guard them. Overhead, that creature shrieks in anger with three mouths, each hideous as a mad dog's. Beards greasy black, eyes red, big belly, fingers well supplied with nails, he scores and scrapes and tears them to a shred, those that the rain already hardly fails to make howl. And they turn from side to side, as if they could keep something unbesmirched by his paws, though they have no goods to hide. No house but this remaining to be searched. When Cerberus, the hulking worm, got wind that he was not alone, he never is, in view of how he's made. He turned and grinned. His hungry mouths displayed those teeth of his in six rows. Every limb was quivering. My leader spread his hands, and to his wrists he dug down through the slop so he might fling the loads of firmer sludge caught in his fists into those gulping throats, and like three hounds that yelped for greed but shut up when they eat, the monster made the small contented sounds it doesn't make for souls spread at its feet. Those we passed over, where they lay prostrate, gripped by the mud and held down by the rain. We trod on ghosts, as if their actual state were human, and they did not flinch in vain. Supine or prone, they all lay stretched out flat, except for one who sat up when he saw us pass and said, "You that I'm looking at, instead of through, because no fatal flaw yet sends you here to stay, do you know me? You should, for you were born before I died." And I to him, "Perhaps my memory aims at the mark you set, but wanders wide, through air unsettled by your agony. But tell me who you are, and why sent here to such a punishment that none more great could well be worse, so much it fills with fear a visitor not marked for the same fate." And he to me, "Our city, then as now, a sack of envy stuffed to spill its load, I spoke for in the world where I knew how to put myself about my sharpest goad, the supper I sang for." "Chacco," they said, "sit down and eat." And now it's here I sit, wrecked by the rain because of broken bread, like anyone too fond of eating it, like all those here now. See how we are fed. And I replied, "Chacco, your moans of pain meet mine, and I am almost moved to tears. But if there is foreknowledge you retain, then tell me if just one just one appears to save the city, what becomes of them, the disunited Florentines? And how did all this start? What snapped the diadem that once encircled the untroubled brow of Santa Reparata? Diplomat you were. You know things. Give me what you know." Then he to me, "At first the usual spat or two, then drawn-out tension, then the blow-by-blow expansion, then the all-out fight between the blacks and whites. With due offense, the whites drove out the blacks. Day follows night, and in 3 years the blacks come back. Immense success, with help from Boniface. In tears, the whites find out the hard way that their shame is just the start of payment in arrears for the crime of losing. Two men have the name of being just, but no one listens. Three real motives: envy, avarice, and pride. Fires of the Florentines, as you will see." And I to him, although I knew my guide, grew restive. "Still, there's something I would know ahead of time. Those men who wish no ill. Teghiaio, Farinata, Jacopo Rusticucci, and Arrigo Mosca. Will I find they rose to grace, or do they weep? And he to me, the whole bunch rot in hell, black souls that different faults have driven deep. Go down that far, you'll see how far they fell. But if it's true you're going all the way back to the sweet world, tell them who you met. They might remember. That's all I can say. Whereat his gaze still fixed on mine, he bent his head and lay back down to join the blind. My leader said, until the air is rent by the angel's trumpet, and the dead shall find their graves take fleshly form, and here resound the eternal echoes, and shall be decreed by the last judge, this one held by his ground will never wake again. Shall we proceed? And so, with slow steps, fording the foul blend of shades and rain, we moved, our speech concerned with life beyond the tomb. After the end, what starts? I asked. Will all those who have earned their place down here feel less pain from the day of judgment on, or just the same, or more? And he to me, what does your science say? The more a thing's more perfect than before, the more it takes delight or feels despair. Although these damned will never know a true perfection, they'll be closer to it there, beyond that day. So, much more than they do must be the answer to your question. We had walked the inner edge of that great ring, with much more talk about theology than I have room or time for rendering. We reached the entrance to a lower zone, but first the fearsome Plutus stood alone.